Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So the numbers of COVID keep rising. It is going to take a little while. We've told everybody this for the vaccines to take effect. There's a report saying the Pfizer vaccine, the first dose of Pfizer vaccine is able to cut doses, or cut, I should say, cases of COVID by 50%. Yet in Israel, with about 20 to 25% of their population vaccinated, they're only seeing a 35% drop. To me, these numbers don't mean much, you know, because our issue with COVID isn't the mild cases. Our issues with COVID are the hospitals and the lack of beds and the lack of facilities and the hospitals being overwhelmed. You know, for those people that are waiting for their business to reopen, they are not really caring how many people have the sniffles. They are caring about when they get to reopen, and they can't reopen until their hospital has beds freed up. Which is why people are saying, can we build more hospitals so we could open back up? So in the United States, total cases have reached 23.9 million. Death toll has been close to 400,000, which is in a year. Have many of them included heart attacks, flu? We're assuming that these numbers haven't changed, and none of the early numbers being reported as COVID haven't changed, but I can believe that we've had a lot of deaths. I just don't know if 400,000 is strictly COVID caused, or somebody having milder COVID but also being at risk for heart attack, stroke, things like that. But either way, 400,000 deaths is horrifying. And I want COVID out of this country as quickly as we can. India comes in next with 10.5 million cases. Brazil, 8.3 million cases. Russia, 3.5 million cases. UK rounding out the top five with 3.3 million cases. Then rounding out the top 10 is France, Turkey, Italy, Spain, and Germany. Now keep in mind, you know, these are very populous countries. Now China should be extremely populous, should be really high up. We heard that they have had their first COVID death since the spring. I don't know if we believe that or not. So the other problem we have are the numbers. I believe the World Health Organization has been allowed to enter China to be able to examine what the heck is going on. But in terms of China numbers, China is down at number 83, right? Well, the epicenter, the start of the virus, that country is down at 83 of all the countries affected, under North Macedonia. China has 87,900 cases reported. Under Nigeria, under Bosnia, under Paraguay, under Oman, Honduras, Qatar, China has had less cases they reported. So whether you believe that or not, I don't. So what's going on with the states? So as of Friday morning today, we are being told that the coronavirus has infected, so that includes mild cases, 93.1 million people, right, across the United States. Now remember, we have 360 million people. So if you think you're COVID-free, if you don't get that vaccine, it's going to come. You're going to get it in one way or another. Now the states with the most cases are California, 2.8 million cases, Texas, 2 million cases, Florida, 1.5 million cases, New York, 1.1 million cases, Illinois, 1 million cases. Now, again, when you're looking at populous, you know, cities and, you know, these top five states, it doesn't surprise me because they have more people. They also have more money, so they can have more testing centers, hospitals, etc. Then rounding out the top 10 is Ohio with 800,000 cases, Georgia, 791,000 cases, Pennsylvania, 753,000 cases, Tennessee, 670,000 cases, and North Carolina, 650,000 cases. Now, I'm licensed in 12 states. Not one of those states that has been listed, I have a license in. I'm licensed in Nevada, Arizona, Washington, Wisconsin, Iowa, Colorado, North Dakota, Montana, Minnesota, Alabama, and I must be forgetting something else. Oh, also Guam. But none of those states I am seen on this list. They do have a lot of cases, but I bring that up because with telemedicine, one of the companies I worked for needed doctors with those licenses and actually helped pay for me to be licensed in those states, Arizona. And so I bring this up because a lot of patients are using telemedicine and not getting COVID tested. I tell them to get COVID tested. They go, it sounds like you got COVID, but if it's mild, people aren't getting tested. So I say that because there might be more cases in these other states, but if they're using telemedicine more than in other states, the numbers might be skewed. Now, which states have the most deaths? That's a lot harder to, you know, keep at home and hide. New York has had 40,000 deaths, 40,435 deaths. California, 32,300 deaths. Texas, 31,700 deaths. Florida, 23,600 deaths. But New Jersey made the top five with 20,100 deaths. And mind you, New Jersey is not the biggest state, but it's close to New York and during the epicenter. Yep. Illinois, 19,700 deaths. Pennsylvania, 18,700 deaths. Michigan, 14,500 deaths. Massachusetts, 13,400 deaths. And Georgia, 11,975 deaths. So we have data on the death rate. We have data on people testing positive. It's not ideal data because I think some of the numbers were blurred. In terms of, was this, you know, a car accident? Was this a heart attack? Was it a stroke? But when we do see death cases rise and we do see them COVID positive, we could then look at the infrastructure and see what issues they have. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away. Guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542. 5542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So, you know, show me the money, show me the vaccine. So some of you have been very concerned that you don't know when you're going to get your vaccine, how you're going to get your vaccine, and you keep hearing that you need to get the vaccine, and another week goes by, you're hearing and you're seeing on Facebook people's kids and uncles and aunts getting vaccinated, and kids aren't supposed to be vaccinated, by the way. All right, we do not have data yet on the COVID vaccine for Pfizer and Moderna. Pfizer under 16, Moderna under 18. We don't have data yet, so not really sure why people are saying their kids are getting vaccinated. But I understand there is frustration. I like to look at the glasses half full There are some states that are knocking it out of the park, believe it or not. I know, you're like, who? Well, West Virginia. West Virginia, remember, they were the last state to have a COVID case. Remember? The last state. So West Virginia, they have something going on. They've been able to vaccinate 5.8% of their population. Not bad. New York, 3%. California, 2.1% of their population. Texas, 3.1%. So we're seeing some states really have their acts together. I believe North Dakota and South Dakota is knocking it out of the ballpark, too. In fact, North Dakota has administered 73.8% of the vaccines that they've received. So rather than these vaccines sitting around, they've been getting them out. Now, remember, any state is restricted by the rules. I don't want to use restricted in a bad sense, but they have rules and protocols on saving the second shot and things like that. So I don't think any of these states are saying to heck with it, we're just going to give everybody the shots and expect more. I think they all kind of followed the rules originally. Arkansas, however, not doing so well. Arkansas has vaccinated 1.4% of the population, which is still 1.4% of the population, but they have kind of the lowest rate in the states. Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, all less than 2% of their population has received the first dose of the vaccine. So people are looking at it, and you know, I feel so bad. The Deep South always gets a bad rap in the media, right? People used to call them the Bible Belt. The Deep South, one of my favorite places in this country. I love New England. I love the Northwest, but I love the South. The people there are the sweetest. They're so, every time I have a conference, every time I'm down there, they just treat you so well. I love Atlanta. I could move to Atlanta any day. I just love Georgia. But those states, unfortunately, have the highest risk or the highest rates of obesity. They have the highest rates of high blood pressure and hypertension and heart disease. And so it's no surprise that they would also be struggling on public health measures. Because one of the reasons why they have higher death rates and morbidities and mortalities due to obesity and high blood pressure and diabetes is because they don't have that much access. So all health care is not created equal in this country. We might try to legislate that, say, well, everybody gets a public option, everybody gets this. But if you don't have people able to implement it, it doesn't happen. So according to the Huffington Post, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and South Carolina, and I think Arkansas might need to be added to this as well, are having some of the lowest rates of vaccination. And why? Well, they have limited vaccine supplies. Okay, I mean, you could get the vaccine, but do you have the freezing potential? Do you have enough of the needles and the syringes and the alcohol swabs? Do you have enough staff? They also have an issue where they have a lot of healthcare workers refusing to get the shot. So, you know, we talked about this. You know, we have high-risk populations that have been told all these months that they are at high risk for COVID. And African-American populations are dying at a higher percentage than those of other races and demographics. So if you have populations that don't want to leave the house or, you know, get anything related to COVID, there's that apprehension there. So, you know, like I said, we probably have to de-scare a lot of the population that the media spent months to scare if we want them to embrace vaccination. There's a lot of bureaucratic systems that are not equipped to schedule the huge number of appointments. But some states have been doing pretty well. I live in Nevada. In Nevada, I don't think they got as many shots as other states. But, you know, we have an amazing health district. You know, we have amazing hospitals. We have amazing healthcare workers. And we don't have enough hospitals. We don't have enough healthcare workers. But I think considering we're doing as good a job. So why is the rollout so slow? Well, one is you need the supply. And there's not a lot of supply. And I told you guys this. Remember, when the vaccine companies or the pharmaceutical companies finally got word that they were going to be approved, then that's when much of the mass manufacturing happened. They had doses ready, but it was a gamble. Because if anything happened with the FDA, or something got into the news where somebody had a really bad side effect, they would lose millions, maybe more. So they had to be very cautious about how they proceeded with mass, right, manufacturing, and then where do you ship it to and which markets are going to want it. So, you know, there's a process in place, and I am looking at the glasses half full. I am amazed at what we have been able to do and the vaccine rollout. But it is frustrating because we're in mid-January. We're coming up on Martin Luther King Day weekend. That's mid-January. We expected that we would see a lot more doses. We expected we would have a lot more people vaccinated by now. I wasn't that optimistic about it, but other people were in the media. They were like, just wait till January. Just wait till January. We got this. Just wait by early January. It's taking a while. And to reach herd immunity, we need about 70% of people on board. When you have healthcare workers in the Deep South that aren't that excited about getting the vaccine, that does change things up. You know, if a patient asks their doctor, are you getting the COVID vaccine? And that doctor says no, thousands of patients might not want to go and get the vaccine. I mean, you know, they look to their doctors as leaders. I told people that I work with, yes, I'm going to get the vaccine. I wanted to wait until vulnerable people got it first, you know, because I see patients and I'm around patients, but not to the degree that I just don't feel I'm at risk as somebody else. But people want to know that it's safe. People want to know that if I trust it, they can trust it. So, yeah, I'm going to get my vaccine, I believe on the 30th. So, hairstylist is like, you have an appointment on the 30th. I know. I mean, he didn't say that, but I'm getting my hair done. And then I get in the vaccine. I had to do a quick switch with the, because I can't mess with that hair appointment. And COVID's serious. I want to get the vaccine. I do. I want to be vaccinated. But what this exemplifies is we have huge disparities in healthcare services. We have huge disparities in those who could administer the vaccine. We have huge disparities in the education within the small communities. If you have a small community and somebody had an anaphylactic reaction to the COVID vaccine, everybody in that community is going to hear about it and they're going to be like, maybe I'll pass. So if you have a hospital and you see somebody pass out after having the vaccine, again, you're going to be more fearful. So, you know, we need to have a concerted effort on what the passing out means. Is it a vasovagal reaction where somebody at the site of blood faints? Okay, that's not a reaction to the vaccine, right? But if somebody does have anaphylaxis to the vaccine, right, why? Tell us why so we hopefully don't replicate that again with somebody who could also be vulnerable. So there's a lot of cherry picking on what gets, you know, put out there in the media, as we've seen throughout this whole year. There's healthcare workers that are already overstressed. If hospitals in Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina, Mississippi, you know, don't have enough healthcare workers, and they're the ones that are being told to administer the vaccine, and they're like, but we're, our hospitals are overwhelmed, that bring in more healthcare workers. But President Trump had said that he was going to bring in the National Guard or bring in the military. Right now, the National Guard is all descending on D.C. I get a little nervous about that because remember Die Hard 3, where all the police had to go and look for bombs in schools? And because all the police forces were working on that, there was this vacuum, right? You know, so I'm a little nervous that all the National Guard is descending on the Capitol and then other things could happen. But we need to do a better job. That's what this means. 1-877-DOCTOLLY.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President-elect Joe Biden outlined a $1.9 trillion spending bill that includes $1,400 per person checks be sent to households to supplement the $600 direct payments approved in December. Biden's plan also helps out state and local governments. Florida Republican Congressman Michael Walls reacts to that part of Biden's proposal.
States have to balance their budget. The federal government doesn't. So AOC and now Joe Biden are going to the big piggy bank in the sky that prints nonstop money.
Old man winter impacting millions of Americans as they face blizzard-like conditions in the Midwest. High winds and heavy snow forcing blizzard warnings to be issued from Minnesota to Missouri. Up to a half foot of snow already being reported in parts of Iowa. You're listening to USA Radio News. Travelers boarding flights to Washington, D.C. ahead of the inauguration will be facing extra security on all major airline carriers. United, American, Southwest, and Delta all making the changes. Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian telling CNBC his airline will add other security measures at airports across the country.
Well, one thing we're going to do is we're going to not allow anyone to check a firearm into any of the Metro D.C. airports starting this weekend and carrying it through the next week unless you are law enforcement and you're authorized to be carrying one.
President-elect Joe Biden outlined a $1.9 trillion spending bill that includes $400 billion for vaccinations and reopening schools. Biden's plan would also extend and expand unemployment benefits and raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So you might see a headline where two babies got cancer from their moms during the vaginal birth because the moms had cancer. And this is so rare. I believe we've only had 20 reported cases where a baby coming out of the mom's canal picks up cancer on the way. That's very, very rare. And apparently, researchers in Japan said they've seen two kids with that. So one was an infant, or well, I don't want to say an infant, 23-month-old, so about a two-year-old, and the kid was coughing a lot. So they did a CAT scan, and there were tons of tumors in his lungs. And he lived. He had tons of tumors in his lungs. When they did a biopsy, they compared it to mom, and mom was apparently suffering from cervical cancer, and they found the genetic sequencing to be the same. And they were like, well, that's odd. How did the baby get the cancer in his lungs? A six-year-old boy had chest pain. And they examined this boy. This is a different case study. Found cancer in the mediastinum. Biopsied that. Found that to relate to his mom's cancer. That's years later. And these kids basically had lung cancer, not the squamous cell lung cancer like you get from smoking. This is cancer in the lungs that came from mom's cervix. Now, what is the cervix? Well, the womb or the uterus is like a light bulb. Okay? The white part of the light bulb is the uterus, fundus, that's where the baby sits. The silver part of the light bulb is the cervix. That's what thins and effaces. So when you see on TV, they're like, oh, she's 7 centimeters or she's 10 centimeters in crowning. They're talking about that silver part of the light bulb, that cervix. And the cervix is a place where women are unfortunately at risk for getting cervical cancer if they get exposed to HPV. HPV is a virus that can cause anywhere from warts to throat cancer to cervical cancer, which is why we promote HPV vaccination in girls and boys. We see a lot of men get throat cancer, HPV-related throat cancer. I'm not going to describe how they get it, but we are presuming they're getting it from somebody who has it in the genital region. So HPV is not a fun virus to get, which is why we have a very effective vaccination regimen for that. But these two kids end up having lung cancer that they got from their moms. So in the articles, they'll say, well, they inhaled it from their parents. They inhaled the cancer from the mom while they were in the vagina. Well, you know, people, we know these kids don't inhale, per se, right, air when they're in the womb. These babies get their oxygenation from blood flow through the placenta from their mom. So this wasn't so much in utero. This was in the vaginal canal. So as these babies were coming out, the cancer cells got mixed with the amniotic fluid, got into the lungs, babies cough, things like that. They believe that's how the cancer cells got in, and then the cancer cells attached. The good news, both kids, after rounds of chemotherapy, survived. Apparently, the older child with the tumor in the lung, it was inoperable, but they were able to do chemotherapy, and the children survived. Unfortunately, both moms died. So we don't mess around with cervical cancer, but people find it very, very odd that, you know, that you can touch cancer. You can get it by exposure. Well, it's not that simple. So if somebody has a tumor on their nose, you know, it's like, let's say this pink, pearly, papular looking thing, and you're like, what is this, Grandpa? What is this, Grandpa? You're not going to get cancer. And, you know, it's a form of skin cancer that isn't as deadly as melanoma, but any sort of skin cancer we like to remove. So touching it, you know, hopefully you don't put your finger in your mouth, you know, hopefully you don't touch, you know, try to dig it in there. But for the most part, we don't really see tactile transmission of cancer. However, we do see seeding. Now, seeding is where, let's say somebody has an ovarian mass, and we decide that we want to do a biopsy. So we have you in a CAT scan, and we want to stick a needle through your abdomen to get it to the tumor, grab that tumor, pull it out of the body, and then take a look at it. And we don't do that. I think we might have done that originally, like decades ago. We don't do that anymore. Because as you're dragging that piece of the tumor out, little things can fling all over the place, and then they can attach, and then it can grow into cancer. So that's not ideal. So many times, you've been very frustrated. Like we're seeing with Screech was Saved by the Bell. You know, okay, why do we have to have an operation? Why is it being biopsied? Why don't we know? Just like with Siegfried, from Siegfried and Roy. His cancer diagnosis wasn't revealed until he was undergoing a biopsy. Well, there's, you know, there are ways to tell if cancer has spread, but a lot of times we don't know what we're dealing with until we go inside. And then we find it and we biopsy it. And, you know, so I know people don't like surgery. They don't like us being invasive. But, you got to look at the glasses half full. We are doing some amazing things. I mean, I looked at the CAT scans of these two kids. I believe they were both boys. If I saw a CAT scan like that in a grown-up, they'd be dead in weeks. And we have medications now that cure these kids. We couldn't cure mom, both moms, but we were able to apparently cure the kids. Not we, not me, but Japanese doctors. So the medications we have and the things we could do are miraculous, but we aren't there yet. We still need you to avoid getting cancer. All right, so with cervical cancer, cervical cancer, can you avoid it? So first, what are the signs, all right? You need to identify cancer early. So you know how we talked about pancreatic cancer with Siegfried? With cervical cancer, signs of cervical cancer could be you have no symptoms at all, which is why we recommend your pap smear screenings. Or you could have bleeding after sex. If you have sex and you bleed each time, that means something hitting your cervix is causing, inflammation and irritation of blood vessels. And cancer isn't skin that has thickness, and it's when something has cancer, it's not going to take the exact same shape, and it's going to be very chaotic, and cancer is going to require a huge blood supply, so it's going to be very juicy and bloody, which is why a lot of cancers bleed. That's why, like with rectal cancer, we'll see bleeding. With skin cancer, you'll scratch it, it'll bleed. You're like, all I did was scratch it. It's because cancer has to have a very, very robust vascular supply. So it's going to bleed easily. So if you have, if you bleed after sex, that could be a sign. If you have discharge, if you have an odor that doesn't seem like any other vaginal infection you might have had, you got to get that looked at. If you have pain, if you have sex and it hurts, that could be a sign of cervical cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer. If you have abdominal swelling, if you have swollen glands in the area, those could be signs of a pelvic cancer, including cervical. So we do pap smears. Now, Dr. Papanicolaou is the gentleman who came up with the pap smear. I'm not sure what his wife was doing at the time and why his wife didn't smack him upside the head. And he said, we're going to stick a duck-looking, speculum into a woman's vagina so we could go in there and we could take a scraping of the cervix. She's probably like, oh, honey, I'm so proud of you. But I got to tell you, Dr. Papanicolaou saved so many lives that is why we have the pap smear. There's a big growing movement to unname certain, things that were named after a man. But if Dr. Papanicolaou came up with pap smear and he saved many lives, give it to him. We would take the cells, we would smear it onto a slide, look at the slide under the microscope and see if there was cancer. Now we just dunk it into a little container, but pap smears is where we take a cervical sampling to take a look at it. So we can screen for it, we could prevent it with HPV vaccination, we could do HPV tests. So if you're overdue for a gynecological visit, you might want to get that done. And they say if you do have cervical cancer, you might want to consider a C-section if you're about to give birth. 1-877-DOCTOR.
The last year was a brutal wake-up call and proved why you should always prepare far in advance for any emergency life throws at you. This year, the smartest move is to stockpile long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts up to 25 years in storage, ready to eat the moment you need it. Listen, failure to plan means planning for failure. Why wait for another crisis when you can easily and affordably have a 3-month, 6-month, even 1-year supply of food on hand? We're My Patriot Supply, the nation's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of customers for over a decade with tens of thousands of 5-star reviews. Our mission is your survival. So try our foods. They're delicious and provide 2,000 calories a day. Plus, our food kits will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in as little as 2 days. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey, guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA. 1-877-DOC-DALI. Well, Frida writes, what do medical students, she wants to know what medical students can do, what their It's a long email. She's basically asking what their qualifications are, as she usually gets a medical student at her doctor's office. Well, okay, you know, you will get a medical student. You might get a doctor in training, a resident. You might have a physician that isn't attending. And some of you think it's a crapshoot. I think it's a blessing. When you get a medical student in the room, it is a blessing, and I tell you why. Some of the most thorough medicine I did was when I had just learned everything in the books. And I would walk into that patient, and I wouldn't halfway it and just wing it when I walked in there. You know, like the attending would walk in saying, all right, yeah, it looks like you have strep. I could smell it from here. Go ahead and get the antibiotics, and then walk right out. Whereas in a medical student, I'm like, okay, are you having a fever? Are you having any swollen lymph glands? Are you having any rash? Are you having any, you know, and then would run and tell the attending, and would be like, well, yeah, see, I told you they have strep. You know, but, you know, did I ever catch anything and attending didn't? No, I don't believe I did. I think my attendings were all right anyway. But I got to tell you, the patient liked to know that there was some thoroughness. So having a medical student come into the room is a blessing. But medical students are now being recruited to administer the COVID vaccine. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with school nurses, any nurses. I'm fine with people administering the COVID vaccine as long as there are crash carts, epinephrine pens, maybe an ambulance nearby in case somebody has an anaphylactic reaction. So to kind of blend the two topics of what medical students can do and what they can't do. So a medical student, like me, I went to undergrad at UNLV for 4 years. I got a degree in biology. Some might get a degree in psychology, some Spanish, some history, but you have to take a bunch of prerequisites to get into medical school. So when I was in college, even though I volunteered at the hospital and I shadowed doctors, I really couldn't administer medications or vaccines as a pre-med student. Once I became a medical student, they started to get you into the hospital little by little, but you had to learn the basics. You had to learn how to take a history. You had to learn what to ask. You had to learn what to look for. And then you had to learn how to process all those clues and put everything together. So as we learned more and more, we start to put things together. So your first 2 years of medical school is pretty much bookwork, which is why many of you will not be under the care of a young, early medical student because they're still learning. They might shadow. They might come in and talk to you and be, you know, gaining some experience, but they're not going to be the ones administering care. By third and fourth year, that's when these students have the role and the duty to start learning. They need to learn how to give an injection. They need to learn how to draw blood. They need to learn how to put in a chest tube. And this is what scares the average patient. They're like, I don't want to be practiced on. And I've had people and patients tell me, don't have a medical student do it. Will you be doing it? I did all the procedures in my clinic. But as a medical student, I am so grateful for every single patient that allowed me to learn and practice. Now, mind you, having a pap smear by somebody who doesn't know how to use the speculum is not very comfortable. Medical students will usually get to practice on somebody. In my case, in medical school, they actually hired prostitutes that would get paid, that would allow us to do a pap smear. Yeah, I believe they were prostitutes. And what made that situation work, I guess, is because they weren't virgins, shall we say, and have the tightness that could cause more pain, shall we say. You could still hurt somebody, but they were more relaxed about having, you know, somebody. They weren't as, you know, shy with their nudity. They were more comfortable with teaching, and I gotta tell you, they were some of my best teachers. You know, when people talk about prostitutes, I have a place in my heart for them because they taught me a lot of my medicine, especially my gynecological medicine. And I am very, very grateful for their patience saying, you know, it doesn't hurt, but that's not as comfortable as if you do it this way. And so, thank God there were patients that allowed us to learn like that. My husband, in his chiropractic school, they had to do breast exams and prostate exams on each other. So some schools, you do exams on each other. And now, when I taught gynecological physical exam in one of the medical schools, we had these models, these plastic models. But you really need to practice on people. I wouldn't practice on another student. But yeah. So for me to be as good as I got, where it came to toenail removal or chest tube placement or central line placement, I needed patients who would allow me. Now, how things worked in the olden days, okay, and I say the olden days, meaning 90s, is there would be free clinics or people would be getting free care. And those people getting free care were so grateful for any care that I always introduced myself as a medical student. I would say, I'm learning. You know, soy una estudiante de medico, you know, soy doctora estudiante Dalia. So I would tell them I was a student doctor. I didn't want anybody to think that I had, you know, so in case they wanted to refuse, and they could. People could refuse. But I noticed with that population, especially the Hispanic population, which is where I learned most of my Spanish, they were very, very open to allowing people to train. If somebody did not want a student, they said no. How many people felt comfortable enough doing that? I don't know. Were there some people that maybe felt uncomfortable having a student? Could be. But the free clinics that we had set up would allow, you know, would be, I worked at an STD clinic in medical school, not worked, but I think I trained at an STD clinic in LA. Again, we students were the ones taking the samples. So it allowed people to get free care, but it also allowed students to practice. And there's still a lot of debate on, you know, if that, you know, still happens or not. But the medical student, you know, having a medical student, I mean, they need to be our future doctors. And so you as patients get credit for, not blame, you know, for our current state of medical affairs, but you guys get credit. There's a doctor that's in the room and he's performing your surgery. He was a medical student once. And it took somebody like you that allowed the student in the room. You know, however, you know, there are limitations. Many students can run a code. Many students can't. Many students can diagnose you right out the gate. Many can't. It all depends on a student's experience prior to medical school. They might have worked as a scribe. They might have, during medical school, had certain attendings or rotations that were a lot more rigorous and thorough. And so they were able to hopefully see more. But then I've had other students, like with COVID, they've been home and doing Zoom training for months. That was frustrating for the medical students as well. Luckily, residency is so busy that it really catches you up. I've put in enough central lines where I was able to do a blindfolded. I had put in enough chest tubes. I had put in enough catheters in my training. I had delivered enough babies where I felt comfortable. But again, it was residency that caught me up. So, you know, residents are doctors. They are medical students that have graduated medical school. So they are doctors and they will be called doctor. I was called Dr. Wax as a resident. But they still have a lot of training to do in their respective field. So if you're going to be a surgeon, you're going into residency now to learn surgical technique and surgeries and how to manage a surgical patient. Whereas in medical school, you have to learn everything. You have to learn OB. You have to learn internal medicine. You have to learn pediatrics. So that's the difference. But, don't panic when you see a medical student, because they need to learn, and many of them know a lot more than you think. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner
recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.